You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
On with our Spaces series. Give me a shout if you're enjoying the Spaces series. It's been amazing, and this has all been rooted in Psalm chapter 18, verse 19, which says this. This is David speaking in the Old Testament, talking about what God has done for him. He says, "He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." Church, how exciting is it for us in Chester that we're able to see the physical, spacious place that God has brought us into? I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for what God is doing. I'm so excited for what God is going to do, and it's going to be an amazing journey. So stick along. It's going to be amazing. Last week, Pastor Josh brought a great message on purpose, creating space for purpose. And we could just honor Pastor Josh. What a great message that was last week. I want to encourage you as well, if you ever miss a message on a Sunday, you can always catch up with it on our Spotify. We've got a podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, and I've been listening to the past few messages again just in my week, and it's been really, really helpful. And Josh, in his message last week, challenged us all to create space for kindness. Create space for kindness. And I love that point. I love that point. And as I was driving home from youth on Fridays, we were in youth here on Friday nights, and it was late, it was about 11:30, and I need to go and get some fuel. And as I was there, the guy looked sad because, you know, he's got the graveyard shift, 11:30 at night. And I just thought, right, act of kindness. What can I do? I said to him, I looked him in the eyes and I said, "I love your haircut." And he kind of smiled-ish and was like, "Thank you." And I walked back to my car. And you know that normally when you're at petrol station, you can kind of see like the cashier like through the window. And I saw him just running his hands through his hair, like doing it. And I'm like, "Oh, he's buzzing. I've made his day." But then I did quite a lot of miles in my car. And then 2 days later, I go and fill up my car again. And he had a haircut. And it just made me wonder whether I thought I was joking or not, if I wasn't too sure. But I hope he took what I did as kindness. But it's been great just to see, and in my world, see all the different expressions of kindness and watching people's faces light up. So that was really, really great last week. But today, we're carrying on with our series, and we're talking about generations. Generations is the topic, and the title, for those of you taking notes, is "There is space for you." Turn to the person next to you and say, "There is space for you." There is space for you. Over summer, which I know sounds and is a distant memory now, summer long gone, we're in October. But in summer, me and two of my best mates, we've been doing Bible college for the past 4 years. And over summer, our kind of holidays lined up. And we're like, we've just got to do something. We've got to go away. And one of the issues was is we were broke. We got no money, we're students, so broke I couldn't pay attention. Oh, so broke that joke was stolen. Someone else's. So we're like scrambling, trying to find where can we go. And basically, we found a flight to Sri Lanka. Well, flights to Sri Lanka. Had about 4 changes and long haul. But we're excited. We're going to Sri Lanka for 3 weeks. And then we get the dreaded email. Flight amendment. I'm like, no. Open the email. And basically, 2 of our flights to Sri Lanka had been cancelled. And it was just a nightmare. So we just got a full refund. So what we did, we were like, but we need to go away. We've got to do it. We're not going to get this chance again where it's lined up so well. And so we went and spoke to our travel agent, ChatGPT. He got us quite far over Bible college. So we put it in. We were like, we want it to be this hot, by this beach. We want these things. And it spat out Bulgaria. And we just thought, let's just go for it. We had 4 days until we were going to leave, and we booked Burgas, Bulgaria. We're excited, and we go on Airbnb, find the cheapest place, filtered by price, low to high, please, and we book the cheapest one. And give me a wave if you've booked on Airbnb before. A few people in the room. And there's this thing on Airbnb where you get the general location when you book it, but then you get the exact location, like, on the week of. So when we landed at the airport, my friend gave the taxi driver the general location. So as we pull up in the middle of nowhere in Bulgaria, we're looking around, nothing, like there's nothing. And he puts his hand on his head, puts the exact location on Google Maps, and it is a 45-minute walk. And it is hot. It is like 35 degrees. We've got our suitcases, and there's no shortcuts. We're in the middle of nowhere. There's no pavement. There's no shortcuts because it's people's land. So we walked our suitcases on the equivalent of the Bulgaria M56. Picture coming up here now as we land and we're walking, cars are zooming past. Mum, it was safe, I promise. It was okay. There wasn't a hard shoulder, there was a soft shoulder just there where the rubble had come away. It was safe. And we got there, we get to our room and we're sweating. I'm boiling. Lug up, I think it was 4 flights of stairs. And we open the door to our room, singular. And I look and see, now that is where I had to sleep for 3 weeks because the Airbnb people, they did us dirty. They showed this from loads of different angles. So this, what you're looking at here, was the living slash sofa slash my friend's bed slash my bed for 3 weeks. Oh my word, there was no space. I think often we can find ourselves in positions and spaces where there is literally, there's no physical space. There isn't any physical space. But sometimes there can be a space, but we feel like we're not part of it. We feel like there's no space for me. A couple months ago, I helped to serve at our Luminous Women's Conference. Give us a shout if you've been to Luminous before. And this takes place in our Manchester Central building. And during this one of the sessions, I was like, I'll just quickly nip to a toilet. Walk into the toilet, and on the mirror, it's all beautifully designed. It's giving me words of encouragement, like, you are beautiful. There's flowers. And I'm thinking, yes. Go into the cubicle. And as I walk out, a woman gives me a very strange look. I'm thinking, what's on my shirt? What have I done? And I watch her walk into the toilet I've just been in. And I'm about, no, that's the butt. And I see the sign on the door that says, due to the large number of women in the building, this is now a women's toilet. And I'm like, oh, no, what have I done? I was like, it could have been worse, people. I was like, what have I done? But when I realized this, I was like, "What? Where am I meant to go? What am I meant to do? There was a space, but I had been put out. And often we can find moments in our lives where we feel ourselves sidelined, put out, and that there's no space for us. And I think as I was thinking about this, and as I was thinking about generations, I think often one of the reasons that we can feel this is sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, is sometimes due to our age, what generation we represent. So we've all felt a time where you felt maybe a bit put out, or maybe this room, oh, I don't feel like I belong here. Because it's easy in a big multi-generational world. Lots of opinions, lots of different experiences, people from all different backgrounds to feel like we can't belong together. The world will tell us that, oh, it's boomers versus millennial, or millennial versus Gen Z, and it will tell us that we can't coexist together and that there is no chance we could have unity. But sometimes it's not just what the world tells us, sometimes it's something that we feel and we count ourselves out. There actually is a space for us, but we give ourselves the narrative, oh, that's for the young ones. Or I don't need to do that. I can't be in this position because that's for someone older than me. And what happens is that even though there was space for us, even though there was space for us, we shrink back. And we say, well, I don't feel like I belong. I don't feel like there's space for me. I want to encourage you, church, is where the world wants to cause disunity, the church is here to bring unity. And I want to encourage you that in this house, in the kingdom of God, there is space for you. Galatians 3:28 says this, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter which generation you're from. It doesn't matter what's on your birth certificate. There is space for you in the kingdom of God because we are all one in Christ Jesus. I love it in Acts here, chapter 2, verses 17 to 18. It says this. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. So church, no matter your age, no matter where you're from, no matter how, if you're the oldest or the youngest person in the room, God's spirit is at work in you. And if you've got breath in your lung, you've got purpose. And if you're here today, God wants to use you. And if you're in this room, God is not done with you yet because we're all in this together and there is space for you. Just look around the room for a minute. Look at all the different generations represented in the church. I love it. So many of us, so much difference, so much variation. But what I love is that we're all in this together. We're all in this together. How do I know this? Our church's vision statement, what we believe, says this. We are a church that makes a statement, growing and grounded in timeless truth for this generation and the next. This generation and the next. And church, what I want to communicate to you today is that we are not a multi-generational church. We're not. We are intergenerational. Because we're not all just in this room, we're in this room together. We're not just all in this room next to each other, but we are connected. We are intergenerational. I love it if just then the people who helped me out in the other service, if you could just jump up for me, just help this illustration. You can give them a round of applause as they come up. Amazing. Yeah, if you can do the lovely line. There we go. Just give it up for them one more time. They know the drill now. Lovely. This is a representation of multi-generations, multi-generationalism. Mandy goes and does her walk with God. Oh, a fast walk. I like it. And then she passes on to Anna. Anna does her walk with God. She does things for the kingdom of God. Then Anna passes on to Lily. Now, this is good. There is an exchange between generations, but it's multi-generational. But church, if we can get the revelation of what God intends us to be, it changes everything. Because this is what God calls us to be as intergenerational. So if you could just rearrange in the other line for me. When you are intergenerational, the exchange from one generation to the next isn't front to back, but it's right to left. Yes, it remains true that one generation does have the leading part and then passes on to the next. But look what happens when Mandy takes a step for the kingdom. It's Anna's victory too, and it's Lily's victory too. Because when we're all together, my victory is your victory. And it doesn't matter if it's not in your place of work, not in your age group, that when we're all in this together, we're together moving forward in the kingdom of God. Biblical principle, Joshua 3:17, it says this, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing, every nation crossed. It wasn't just the elders, it wasn't just the youngers. And church, that is a representation for us now, because I didn't just cross over the road, you crossed over the road, and we're taking space together, we're taking ground together, because in the Bible it says it wasn't Paul and Silas. Sorry, it doesn't say Paul then Silas, Paul and Silas. So when Lee takes ground, it's Lee and Josh. It's not Lee then Josh, because they're together. It's not Ruth and then Charlotte, it's Ruth and Charlotte, because we're in this together. And when we take steps forward, we're breaking ground together on the edge of breakthrough. You can give it up for my volunteers.
Thank you, thank you.
But my question is this, will you shrink back or will you step forward? because I can't step forward for your generation. I can't do it, but you can. Will you shrink back or will you step forward? Because we are all in this together and there is space for you. Turn to the person next to you and say, space for you. What I love about this is that there's space for your difference. Just because we're all in this together, which we are, does not mean we are all the same, because we're not. When my grandpa was around, he would dress very differently to me. Different generations, different fashion. My grandpa would dress smart casual everywhere. Shirt and jeans everywhere. He was either overdressed or underdressed wherever he went. Different. Nana Ruth, or if you know her by her surname, Ruth. We're different. Me and you. I've got old knees made of cartilage. You've got metal knees of aluminium. I can't compete with that roof. Different. I'm a dinosaur. I'm so old. I can't compete. We're different. Some people in generation love stair lifts. They just drive me up the wall. I can't stand them. There is difference. There is difference, and that is God's intention. We're different, church. We've got to celebrate that. We've got to bring that, because there's space for your difference. What I love so much about Ruth, there's many things, but I love Ruth, is you're on youth team. And I get to talk to you about youth team. And we don't agree on everything because we're different. But when we're able to draw on Ruth's experience, the walks and things that's happened to her in life that she's able to impart, it creates a stronger and healthier next generation, because Ruth decided that I'm all in this together, so I'm connected and I'm going to bring my difference. And this happens through conversation. James 1 verse 19 says this, be quick to listen, slow to speak. And that's the posture of kingdom conversation. Quick to listen, slow to speak. In my dissertation research on Generation Alpha, this quote always stuck with me. It says this by Valora Washington, many voices will be required for change. We need your voice. The many here, different voices will be required for change. I can't bring your experience, it's yours. I can't bring your wisdom, it's yours, but you can. There is space for your difference. So I encourage you this morning, don't shrink back. Enjoy the fact you're different. And create space for conversations where we don't always have to agree, but we're able to recognize our difference and work together to occupy the space which God has called us to. There is space for your difference. Second thing, this, turn to the person next to you and say, there's space for your encouragement. Come on, say it like you mean it. Space for your encouragement. What I'm about to read is a passage from the Old Testament in Exodus. I won't go into the context too much because it kind of describes it quite well, as it's in the story narrative form. And what's happening is on the bottom of a mountain, Joshua and the Israelites are fighting the Amalekites. And gone to the top of the mountain is Moses, the leader, and he's gone with Aaron and Hur. So that's a little bit of what's going on. And this is what it says here. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the enemies were winning. Oh, my word. When Moses' hands grow tired, they put a stone under it and sat on it. Aaron and Hur then held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the enemy with the sword. As long as the arms were held up, the Israelites were winning. Church, we need your support. We need your encouragement. We need to support and be for each other if we want to win the battle and occupy the spacious place. We need you. We need you. When I first started preaching, and the first time I preached on a Sunday across the road, super, super nervous and anxious, stood at the back of the auditorium. And the late, great Malcolm Hill walked up to me, looked me in the eyes and said, "You've got this." He said, "God is with you. You've got it." Held up my arms every time, every single time. I needed it. Church, we need to support each other. We need people who lift up each other's arms and encourage. We need to encourage. I want to encourage you as well. Have a space for your testimony. There's space for your story. Psalm 78 says this, verse 4. "We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done." Your story is more than entertainment. Your testimony is more than just something that just happened to you. Your story puts a weapon in the younger generation. Your testimony puts something in the person you're telling that starts to build up some faith within them. Because I know when I'm feeling low, I just need to say, "Pastor Lee, tell me about what God did in your life when you were my age," to lift up my arms. Because I need, just every now and then, I need to hear about Mandy. What's God been doing in your life? I need to hear about it. I need to be encouraged and my arms lifted by your testimony. When I'm feeling low, I'm like, "Josh, how did you get through this?" And he starts to tell me about what God has been doing. And when I'm feeling low, he starts to lift up my arms, encouraging me in my position with his words, his encouragement, his testimony. And I feel supported and I'm ready to go. But also what we need to catch is we're not always just the Moses. We need to be people who hold up each other's arms. So when you need help, I'm going to encourage you. I want to support you in that. Because imagine if we all were lifting up each other's arms, connected, giving encouragement. Imagine what it would look like in your work if you were someone who just spoke encouragement. Imagine in your family that if you were the one who said, "I'm going to hold up your arms. I'm going to lift up the arms of my children. I'm going to lift up the arms of my uncles. I'm going to lift up the arms of my auntie, of my grandma. I'm going to be the one who lifts up, encourages, and offers support because I know they need it." Could you imagine the impact that would happen if you made a decision to be an encourager and offer support? Audacious Church, there is space for your encouragement. Final thing that there's space for is your prayer. There's space for your prayer. I was really, really touched and really moved during May of this year. I had the opportunity to serve at our Assemblies of God National Conference. I was helping out there where I could. And just for those of you who are not sure what it is, Assemblies of God is the movement of churches that we're a part of. And our senior pastor, Pastor Glynn, also leads the Assemblies of God Great Britain. So I'm there and I'm helping out, and there was a speaker a lot of you might know named Pastor Pete Gregg. And Pete Gregg and his wife Sammy, they founded the 24/7 prayer movement in 1999. And this was a student-led prayer meeting believing for young people to come to know Jesus. 24/7 meaning that every minute of every hour of every day, someone would be praying. And you may have heard about the silent revival. This is a stat that's come out in the last year about the number of young people coming to know Jesus. And it is phenomenal. What an honor and a privilege, side note, that we get to be alive while God is doing something incredible in a generation. What a privilege. What an honor we get to witness that. And he said something that just really stuck with me when he was talking about this. He said this: "We are seeing revival in this generation because they have not gone a day without being prayed for by our generation." And that really, really hit me. The fact that there's never been a moment in my life where someone hasn't prayed for me. Never. They don't know me. They don't know my story. But I've been prayed for every day of my life. And that's what he attributed to the reason of why we're seeing young people come home, is that they've been prayed for every moment of every day. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for praying for my generation. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for your prayers. And I want to return the favor. I want to encourage you. We're praying for you. I'm praying for you. We're praying for you. I know people in our church, my friends, we're praying for you. We want to lift up your arms like you lifted up ours. Because we got a revelation that we're all in this together. I know there's space for me, but I need you to know there's space for you. My future depends on your now. The future of the younger ones before me, their future depends on my now. We've got to make decisions to be lifting them up. Because we didn't just inherit this land for our children. Yes, we did. But we inherited it with them. They're there. The next year. Because we're together. I want to encourage you, church. There's space for you. God wants to use you. He wants to use your difference. He wants to use you to encourage. He wants to use you to support. But more than that, we need it. We need to be lifting each other up. I need people who've got my arms. You need people who've got your arms. We need you to be lifting up. God's given us a spacious place, but if we're to occupy it, if we're going to see breakthrough, we've got to do it together. Because we're all in this together. There's no me and you. There's no you and me. There's us. We're here. We're the church, and we're on a mission to see people's lives transformed. We're on a mission to see schools have breakthrough. We're on a mission to see your workplace transformed. We're on a mission to see children come up knowing that they're loved. We're on a mission to see elderly people come in knowing that they've loved, going their whole lives without, but knowing that they're still loved. Church, we're on a mission and we need you. There is space for you.
Thank you for listening to this audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.